This is the Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, after a fortnight in which Tai Po forced to yield as Kichi win to seal this year's Senior Shield. Honours even in Guangzhou as a goal from Thiago cancelled out after a slip from Low. And Robert surprises all as Hoiking struggle and fall to some nice Hoiking football. We've got loads to cover in this edition because so much has happened since we last spoke. Senior Shield final, the latest results in the Hong Kong Premier League, including some surprises, FA Cup results, Sapling Cup game still to come, and Kichi AFC match. It's all in there. Stay with us. My name, as always, is James Legg, and I'm joined, as always, I'm pleased to say, by Tobias Zuse.
Yes, I indeed recovered very quickly from last weekend.
From the saddening defeat for your team, Tai Po.
Yes, heartbroken still. As Friedrich Nietzsche would say, God is dead, right?
You know, that is exactly what I was thinking. So let's start with that game, the Senior Shield final. Kichi winning the first silverware of the season with a 3-2 win over Tai Po. It was an excellent final, very exciting. The Greens really put the pressure on the champions' goal in the last 10 minutes or so, but to no avail. Once again, Kichi beat Tai Po in a final. I think that's something like one win over Kichi in 23 matches, is it now, for Tai Po?
I think so, yes. A very long time.
It is a real... They've really got something...
A curse.
A curse. It's definitely a curse.
Yeah, must be.
Kichi's new signing, the centre-back Matt Smith, got his first goal in Hong Kong. He poked home after a corner fell to the ground in the Tai Po area. But Tai Po were very much in the game and made a lot of the running. Philip Chan made that count with what I thought was a very nice equaliser. What I hadn't noticed until I watched the replay was just how much Igor Sartori does for this goal. A Kichi attack breaks down near the edge of the Tai Po box where Sartori picks up the ball and he sprints the ball up the left, dodging a tackle, cuts across toward the box, passes the ball and takes up a spot on the right near the Kichi box. And it's there that he lays on the pass for Lee Ka-ho, who sends it into the box where it falls at the feet of Chan, who does, I thought, very nicely to set himself, pick a spot right in the roof of Wang Zhenpeng's net. Excellent goal.
Yes, excellent goal and very important because it just came like 10 minutes after Kichi's lead and a very important equalizer. It made the game wide open again at that point.
Yeah, and it comes during what I think is a really good period for Philip Chan.
Yes, absolutely. I think he really fits into the Tai Po system at the moment. Actually found his place quite nicely next to Wong Wai most of the time. And he has already scored a couple of times this season as well.
Yeah, that is his sixth of the season in all competitions. He's doing very well. You know, he's always been in around clubs of Premier, you know, in the Premier League. He was at South China. He was a bit par player. Then again at Eastern, he was loaned to Southern and that went quite well. But this move really seems to have settled him and,
right.
And he's having for the first time quite a substantial impact on the season.
So how is he doing in our ethnically Chinese goal scorer list?
That's a very good question. Well, in all competitions, that actually puts him top, just ahead of Chan Kwong Ho, who is on 5 at Yuen Long. But all of Chan's came in the league, but all of Chan Kwong Ho's came in the league. So if you want just league, then Chan Kwong Ho is top. But if you want all competitions, then Chan Siu Kwan, aka Philip Chan, would be top. And James Ha has got 4 in the league for Southern as well. Always good to keep an eye on the ethnically Chinese league.
Exclusively table. Presented by the Hong Kong Football Podcast.
But anyway, let's get back to that game, which we left at 1-1. Kichi did go in at the break 1-0 up. Fernando scored a free kick thanks to some pretty poor Zhang Manfei goalkeeping. Toby, what WTF happened there?
Yeah, WTF indeed. First, the distance for the free kick, it looked quite dangerous. It was very close to the box. And both Zhu Yingzhi and Fernando lined up to take it. I even tipped on Zhu at that point, but it was Fernando who took it. And it was a relatively slow free kick and directly into the center of the goal. And Zhang Manfei, if he would just stood where he was, he should have easily caught the ball. But he didn't. And for whatever reason, he slightly moved to the left as he expected or was completely convinced that the ball would go above the wall. It didn't.
Yeah, it was just a real error of judgment, I guess, from Zhang. Interestingly, you know, for the past 18 months or so, Tai Po have chopped and changed goalkeepers. It's either Lee Hon Ho or Zhang. I imagine maybe next time out, we'll see Lee back in goal, because the chop tends to come when a high-profile mistake is made like that. Yeah, anyway, Michel Lugo equalised, only for Taipo to invite their own demise once again. An own goal from Fung Hing-hwa, making it 3-2 to Kitchi, which is how it ended. They're having a wretched time in the Premier League, but they've still got the first trophy of the season. Well done to them.
Yes, well done to them. I think in the end, both teams would have deserved the trophy. Eventually, I think it was a quite competitive game, entertaining game as well. Still need to say that Taipo were much more of a competitor than in the last two finals. Yeah, it was a great game eventually.
It was an extremely competitive game. Those last 10 minutes or so, Taipo were peppering the Kitchi area with crosses, and a few players got on the end. You know, by the end of it, Kilama was on and he was up front. Edo Preyas had gone up front, and they actually had quite a few opportunities. They just didn't take them, and yeah, tough luck for Taipo once again, and a really good opportunity to win a trophy passed up. Okay, so that was the Senior Shield. What else has been happening? The league really has a flavour of anyone can beat anyone at the moment. I'm thinking particularly of Hoi King getting their first ever Premier League win, beating Southern.
Yeah, the King's men are becoming the King Slayers, right? Finally, I have been waiting for this for ages.
I'm happy for you, and I'm also happy for Hoi King. They recently signed Robert on loan from Kitchi, and it was he who scored the decisive goal, having come on as a second-half substitute. He spread the ball wide to Chris Annan.
Hong Kong football legend.
Hong Kong football legend, who played a delightfully delicate, curving ball through for the Brazilian to run onto. Robert bore down on Seh Takim's goal and rolled the ball into the net at the far post. Nice goal, really nice goal. 1-0. It ended, and a massive win for Hoi King.
Indeed, massive win, and you really have to give it to them that they were the better team for most of the game. They looked quite good already in the first half, put a lot of pressure. Southern were very defensive. I mean, Southern usually are defensive, but you would expect that they might go more in the attacking mode, playing against the bottom of the table team. But Hoi King looked really a bit different than before that. Now, it's yet to see if it is just a one-time off, just a bad day for Southern or an extremely good day for Hoi King. But yeah, extremely amazing result eventually. And now we are really in a league where anyone can beat anyone, because Southern just have beaten Kitchi the weekend before. Let's not forget that. So everyone expected that they would just roll over Hoi King the week after.
Definitely. Hoi King are still bottom of the league, but their 4-point tally is a little more respectable than it was and leaves them just 2 points off both Dreams and Lee Man. So you never know, they could climb from the foot of the table sometime soon. They did lose to Yuen Long at the weekend though, 2-0 in the FA Cup. That defeat for Southern also cost them the chance to go top of the league. A win would have put them a point clear at the summit. That was because RNF drew with Eastern in Guangzhou, 1-1. This one ended thanks to second half goals from Thiago Deleonco and Lam Kar Wai. Toby, you saw this game. How was it?
Well, it reminds me of these typical hyped games that don't really live up to the expectations that you put at them. We have seen quite a lot.
Who
of
hyped
them.
This game? I don't remember.
I also don't know.
I don't remember hyping this game.
Well, it was a little bit of a tight affair, of course, in the first half. You could see that there was a lot at stake at this game, so both teams were quite careful in their approach. But yeah, altogether, RNF seemed to have the upper hand. And I think the way they conceded the equalizer was maybe also a bit lucky for Eastern on their side to avoid a defeat in the league.
Yeah, there was a little bit of slapstick involved in Lam Kar Wai's goal. Talk me through it.
I'm not sure if it's slapstick or if it's a kind of mystery do it. We already started this podcast to talk about all these paranormal things that happen in the Hong Kong Premier League. And maybe this was also something about that. Again, Lo Kuan Yee was involved.
Yeah.
He is RNF defender now. He used to be a teammate of Lam Kar Wai at Kitchi. So an Eastern cross came in from the right, directly towards Lo Kuan Yee. And instead of just clearing the ball, he was letting it drop off his chest and made a perfect assist for Lam Kar Wai, who was just next to him and from 5 yards put the ball into the goal. So it looked a bit strange insofar because Lo Kuan Yee and Lam Kar Wai already had a very interesting encounter in the first match between RNF and Eastern. And yeah, this kind of unintended collaboration continues.
Yeah, in the previous game, which Eastern won 3-2 in extremely dramatic circumstances, Lo was sent off for elbowing Lam in that game. Of course, both Kitchy legends who only just joined these teams. And yeah, so every time they play, when they're not on the same team, they end up in some kind of controversial match altering incident.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that it's not intended, that this is not to say that they do this on purpose. It's just appears to be strange, but it's not intended for sure.
I fully agree. So after that, RNF stay top on 20 points with Eastern a point behind in second. Southern in third and Kitchy in fourth have 18 points each. That's after Kitchy beat Leman 3-0. In the process of this game, Lucas Silva got his 8th league goal of the season, 12th in total. And I don't know if you've seen this, Toby, Anlok Fung got one of the harshest sendings off I've ever seen. He took 2 bookings, one for falling into the general direction of Fernando and the second for an attempted block on Matt Lam. In both cases, the Kitchy player made a real meal of this situation, and it was hard to see how either of them was a booking. So rough luck for Lee Man there, a team who I don't think have had too much luck so far this season.
That's true. I mean, usually if Ngan Lok Fung gets sent off, he deserves it. In this case, maybe not the case.
Yeah, maybe his reputation preceded him a little bit. Taipo did what Taipo do best. Well, maybe what they do second best after losing to Kitchy in finals. They gave up a 2-goal lead. That was against Yuen Long, with whom they drew 2-2 at Taipo Sports Ground. Decent game, this one. I was there for the New Territories derby. And Toby, you warned us last week that these tend to be feisty agricultural affairs. And it really was a very bitty first half. Lots of fouls and stoppages. But a piece of serious quality from Wong Wai cut through the carnage. He turned to face the goal outside the Yuen Long box and fired a lovely curling shot into the near post. 4-1-0. It was Harry Sawyer who made it 2-0 4 minutes later with some excellent number 9 play, rolling Thomas Marinese to run a goal and finish past Chan Kar-ho. But I've said this before, I've said it many times before, they just don't have another way of playing to close out games. So even when Taipo are 2-0 up, they are vulnerable. And in the second half, Yuen Long's recent Taiwanese signing, Wang Rui, scored to make it 2-1, although it looked a lot like he brought down Chen King Fung's free kick with his arm before finishing with his right foot. And in the 84th minute, Caleb Akwegwo, who had laboured on his own up top, fired a shot at Dang Man Phai, who saved nicely, but the rebound fell to Akwegwo again, and this time he headed home for 2-2. Honours even, and Yuen Long stays 7th.
That's true, and let's not forget that Caleb Akwegwo is now a local, so this is why Yuen Long can field him aside of a couple of other foreigners.
I did not know that.
Yes, it's true. He already stayed here for the required 7 years.
I believe he's played recently in Division 1.
Yes.
But that's interesting. I didn't know this. I mean, this is, I think, the first time I've seen him kind of live in the flesh. And it was a rough game for him, I think, because he was on his own and he needed a little bit more support. But once he could kind of get himself face and goal a bit more, with Diego Moser having come off the bench to support him, he looked a little bit better and he did well for the goal. Later that day, there was another draw, 1-1, between Pegasus and Dreams. Travis Major opened the scoring before Marcos Gondra scored an absolute worldie from about 35 yards. Did you see this, Toby?
No, I did not.
You need to go and watch the highlights. This is, I know I say it a lot, but it was a goal of the season contender. Top draw stuff. So Pegasus are 6th, but still just 5 points off the top, because that is how tight it is in the Hong Kong Premier League this season. And on Tuesday night, they got a decent win over Kitchy in the Sapling Cup, 3-2. A game notable for some interesting refereeing. Jack Seeley of Pegasus somehow escaped a red card for a horrifying studs-up tackle on Cheng Chin Lung. He was only booked for that, and Kitchy players weren't too pleased. A bit later, Pegasus goalie Leung Hin Kip brought down Cheng in the box. The ref gave a penalty and gave Leung a red card. Then, after a chat with the Pegasus captain, Wu Chun Ming changed his mind and gave him a yellow instead.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. But in fairness, I think that is the right decision. Like, that was changed a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
You're not supposed to give a penalty and a red at the same time because it's seen as, like, just too excessive. So I was surprised when I saw the red, but I was equally surprised when I saw the ref change his mind and give a yellow instead. But yeah, in amongst all of that, there were 5 goals and Pegasus won 3-2.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
So, Toby, another loss for Kitchy on Tuesday against Pegasus. And despite that Shield win, which I think is great for them, they're still looking wobbly, very stodgy in the middle, lacking that cutting edge that they had in abundance last season. And it's been said, I've heard it from elsewhere, that the damage that Typhoon Mangkhut did to their training centre in September, that is to say, basically destroyed it and left them without a pitch to train on, has had a big impact on their fortunes so far this season. What do you think of this theory?
Well, I'm not a big fan of this kind of justification, to be honest. First, them being without the training center basically puts them on the same level as every other team in the Premier League, meaning that, yeah, they have to book pitches elsewhere. They maybe have to go to the new HKFA training center, which is also quite decent in terms of training conditions. But yeah, this is what all the other clubs do on a daily basis. Of course, you could say that for Kitchy, this was one of the major advantages always in the past, and to put in all this money to have this best environment. But I think in the end of the day, it's not really fair to just look for external reasons why your season doesn't really go the way you imagine it to be, because there are, I think, more obvious internal reasons for the current demise.
We can get to that in a moment, but I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm not saying, like, poor Kitchy, like, this is a terrible burning injustice. But I am saying that maybe it explains to a certain extent what has happened. And you're right, it puts them on the same level as everyone else, and no one else complains that they don't have a top quality training center. However, it might go some way to explaining why they went from being unbeatable in the league last season to being really nothing special so far this season. But of course, I think it's squad management and transfer decisions, I think, more to blame, right?
Yes, I would say so. Getting back to the condition of the training center or the general training conditions for professional teams in Hong Kong, they're having a great advantage over any other team. I think there's no real doubt about it. Now that they don't have it for a couple of months, if that really unsettles them so much. But in the end, there are so many other advantages that maybe Kitchy receives over the course of a season. That means that they are actually playing a lot of games in Mongkok Stadium, which is their home ground and doubles as a home ground of another team. They play a lot of neutral games in Hong Kong Stadium, Sapling Cup games or cup games and so on. Yeah, I think in the end, you know, there are some external factors in such a small place like Hong Kong that are always there. But to a certain extent, all teams might be affected by it. It's not to say that other teams are not affected by the typhoon because their stadium was ruined, like Salvan, or their training pitches were not accessible during the time. They might also had to move. Taipo is sometimes training, not just in the district, but also in Cheung Kwan O. And their gym is like located in Cyberport. So I think it's part of a struggle. Kitchy avoided it for some time, and now they're back in the mix.
And of course, Southern, who had their stadium ruined by the exact same typhoon, are having a better season than they've had, or certainly a better first half to the season than they've had for a couple of years. So it certainly doesn't explain everything. Of course, we've talked about the signing of Sissoko that didn't work. A lot of players who left, long-term players. I mean, in the Senior Shield, I was struck, well, after Jared Lum was struck by someone's hand and he had to go off with, I think it was an eye injury, they had to bring on the young French player they've just signed, Ben Adouche, who I don't know much about, but he didn't have the best of games. Last season, they would have had Alex Akande on the bench. They would have had Sandro on the bench, both of whom could have filled in a lot better and fit in a lot more comfortably into this squad, into this team than Ben Adouche did. And that's two players who they got rid of in the summer. Paulinho probably could have done the same. And then also look at players like Lo Kuan Yee and Lam Ji Kien and how well they're doing for RNF. They were both shipped out. Yeah, a lot of the overhaul in terms of how they've managed their squad hasn't helped, I don't think.
And the strange thing about this overhaul, the way I understood it at the beginning is that Kitchy now wants to bring in more of the young players. But I think what happened instead was that you still have the kind of same older starting 11 with young players given like maybe one position in the regular 11, but it's still like dominated by the same players. And I think now that you even have a smaller squad and you cannot rotate that much, it actually started to backfire because the younger players have not been integrated the way they maybe should have at that point. And so the reliance on the older players is therefore actually increasing now.
Although while we're on that topic, it is worth noting that Lo Ji-chun played it right back for all of the Senior Shield final. I thought he was very good. He's only 22.
Yeah, he significantly lowers the average age for Kitchy at that regard, yeah.
But I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, he did.
Probably should have mentioned it earlier. yet. In other Kitchy news, Kim Bong-jin has left. He's joined Hoang An Gia Lai in Vietnam, currently 10th out of 14 teams in Vietnam's V League, the top division there. What a successful stint for Kim. In 2.5 seasons in Hong Kong, he's won 2 league titles, 2 FA Cups, 1 Senior Shield and 1 Sapling Cup. One of those league titles, of course, was unbeaten. Not bad at all. Well done to him.
Yes, absolutely. And we will miss him.
Yeah, all the best in Vietnam. And I believe he's still only 28, 29.
Yes, he's younger than me.
I think he's younger than me as well. So, yeah, and he's certainly won more Hong Kong league titles than either of us put together. Next up for the current Hong Kong champions is an AFC Champions League second qualifying round match in Malaysia. This is the first of 2 away games, single-legged, that they would have to play to get into and win into the Champions League. I say single-legged, I mean there's only one leg. I don't mean you have to play with only one leg each. I make that joke every year.
Yeah.
It never stops being funny.
No, it does not.
But yeah, tell me about this game, Perak. I believe they're based in Ipoh in northern Malaysia.
Yes, that's right. So basically Malaysia has now the spot that Hong Kong used to have in the last 2 seasons. That means that they have one fixed group stage spot and the other team is going through the qualifiers. So when Kitchy played Hanoi back then in Hong Kong Stadium for the next qualifying round, this was the equivalent to what is happening now with the Malaysian side. So Kitchy has to travel away, has to beat the Malaysian club away. If it's a draw, it will go into extra time and then into penalties. Yeah, it will be a tough game, certainly. It's really hard to say how the Malaysian side is faring at the moment, as they're coming out of off-season. So the new season is just about to start. Aren't they supposed to just start ahead of the Kitchy game?
Yeah, so they finished second last season, as you can probably surmise. Johor, who are the by far the dominant team in Malaysia, they'll play directly in the group stage. And Perak haven't played any games yet, but between now and that Kitchy game, which is February 12th, 9 p.m. kickoff, I assume you'll be able to watch it on something like Fox Sports. Between now and then, they're going to play 2 league games, their first 2 league games of the season. One of them is against Johor. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not a sports scientist. I don't know what kind of shape they'll be in. They probably won't be in full match fitness, but they also won't be completely cold in terms of not having played any games. So it's going to be a tough one for Kitchy, especially given their form so far this season. And even if they do win, they then have to go away to Ulsan Hyundai in South Korea and win there as well.
Right, that sounds a bit familiar, no?
Yeah, this is the same Ulsan Hyundai who 2 years ago, Kitchy played in the exact same stage of this tournament. And they did so well. They drew 1-1, took the game through extra time, 2 penalties, got so close to what would have been a miraculous result. And they lost on penalties. I think Fernando missed. I think Alex Akande missed as well. And yeah, they would have to go and do that again. But that was a really excellent Kitchy team. That was maybe peak Kitchy. You know, they just signed Christian Vardoc and they were really coming into that kind of unbeatable territory that they occupied for, you know, 18 months, and they're not in that space at the moment.
Now, that said, what happened to these ambitions? I've been wondering about this, looking at what they did over the summer with the squad, looking at what they recently did with the squad. I think we haven't mentioned yet that they brought in another Korean player. They swapped one player with Hoi King. Seo Sang-min is now joining Kitchy as well, who hasn't been very outstanding so far this season. So it was maybe a little bit puzzling, this kind of addition. But that leaves them at the moment with an okay squad in domestic terms. But if you compare it to the kind of Asian squad that they tried to build up in the 2 seasons before, where they really tried to go for ACL, doesn't really seem to be anywhere close to there.
No, I totally agree. I mean, let's talk personnel. Who are they going to take into this Champions League campaign?
Well, the first question would be about the foreign aides that they're allowed to take. That would be 3 foreigners plus 1 Asian. So I think the choice is quite obvious. It would be Fernando, Vardoc and Lucas, insofar because Josip Dadic is also injured at the moment. And then the Asian would most likely be Matt Smith, who just joined Kitchy. He looked quite good, I have to say. So I think he might really be an addition in solidifying the defense. Other than that, they cannot take Jared Lam. As we know, they cannot take Matt Lam. They're still a kind of uncertainty if they can take Yuto Nakamura, according to the regulations at the moment, because he hasn't really played in an official competition. He might not be able to be fielded as a local player. That means he might also drop out of this squad. That might be also the same case for the new French player, Clément Benedouche. So particularly, you know, being then without Matt Lam and Jared Lam, being without other naturalized players like Yuto Nakamura, Sandro and Alex Kande that he had in the past, being even without Paulinho, yeah, that adds up eventually. They still have Jordi, of course, they can field. They have Dani, Helio, the ones who already received the Hong Kong passports to be eligible to play. But they will need to rely on other players that we don't see that often.
Such as Ling Ai Hoi or...
Could be Ling Ai Hoi. I think Lau Chi-chun had made a great case for himself already. I mean, you still have options like Tung Kin Man, you still have Cheng Chin Lung, you have a couple of young players who are usually ready to play. That said, it is at the moment maybe more worrisome in terms of the injuries that they're having. Huang Yang had a concussion, he hasn't been back yet for the training. Jared Lam had this eye injury, but he has been back already, it seems, in the last Sapling Cup game, so it shouldn't be too serious. Josip Pavlic is injured, so even though maybe they can field still a good squad in the ACL qualifiers, it will put some pressure on the domestic competitions as well if their squad is so small at the moment. Comparably small. I mean, still bigger than other team squad, but compared to the last seasons, it becomes quite tiny.
Yeah, it's a club which has a lot of challenges up against it in the next 4 months or so. Let's see how they do with that. Okay, so Sapling Cup takes over the next couple of weeks. I can't say I'm too thrilled about that. You know, I find it hard to get too excited by Hong Kong's third best competition.
The third best competition? You rank it above Senior Shield?
I meant fourth. I counted it out of my fingers and I still got it wrong.
You have so many competitions to choose from.
Yeah, Hong Kong's fourth best competition. There isn't actually a league match until February 15th. Any standout fixtures here? In Group A, Eastern play Yuen Long on February 3rd at Hammer Hill Sports Ground, 2:30 p.m. kickoff. This could be good. Eastern still not looking great despite that creditable draw with title rivals RNF. They most recently lost 2-1 to Dreams in the FA Cup and have only won one match in their previous nine in all competitions, and that was against bottom side Hoi King. So Yuen Long might well get some sapling points on the board in this one. The weekend after looks tastier. Yuen Long again, they'll play Tai Po in a rematch of that New Territories derby, this time on their patch. It's 5:30 p.m. on February 10th, so get down there if you're free. Also that weekend on the 11th, Pegasus will play Southern, two teams capable of being very good at times. Who'll win this one? The best way to find out is by going to watch it live at Tsing Yi Sports Ground, 8 p.m. kickoff. Oh, and in among that, there's the Lunar New Year Cup, right?
Oh, yes, the Lunar New Year Cup. First time happened in 1908.
The fifth best competition in Hong Kong.
Yeah, the fifth best, but also one of the oldest, we have to say. Has been very traditional in Hong Kong. Interesting way to start into a new year, the year of the pig. Let's not forget that. Mm. I'm sure there will be some roast and piglet as well somewhere. But first day of the Lunar New Year, we'll see three teams from overseas. Auckland City from New Zealand is coming, the permanent New Zealand champions, I believe. Then you have Shandong Luneng from the CSL and Sagan Tosu from Japan. And this is like the star team that is promoted because Sagan Tosu has Fernando Torres under contract at the moment. He's also supposed to come to Hong Kong. So this happens in Hong Kong Stadium, the first two games on February 5th, first day of Lunar New Year. And then the game for third place and the final on February 7th, the third day of Lunar New Year.
Yeah, so you get a doubleheader both days, four teams. Also mentioned that Shandong have Graziano Pella, formerly of Southampton, another relatively big name, although I don't think he's anything too special, really.
He didn't win the CFA Cup, but let's not get into this. Lost against Beijing Guoan.
Oh, it's funny because you never mention it.
No, I never.
And the one team that we haven't mentioned is the Hong Kong League 11, who will be mostly Pegasus. We should probably revisit this a little bit. This is very historic. And the idea of the Hong Kong League 11 is also kind of a very historic thing. I think it's a little unusual because you don't really hear about this in other leagues. You only really hear about it for, like, you know, retired players. They'll play in these special 11s. But this has always happened. And it used to be quite a big deal. You know, these games used to get, like, a lot of football matches back in the 60s, 70s and 80s. They used to get big crowds that you could fill up the stadium to watch a Hong Kong League 11 play against Santos with Pele or Benfica with Eusebio.
Most recently, New York Cosmos, right, with Raul.
Of course, yeah, not too long ago. And it's been assembled. I remember a couple of years ago, Kitchy did it, and it wasn't actually a League 11, it was Kitchy, and they just had other players from other teams come in. Whereas now it's mostly Pegasus, but it is still going to be called a League 11. Who else is joining the team? So I imagine we can expect players like Chansuki, Mahama Awal, Travis Major, Wu Chunming, all from Pegasus are going to play. Who has joined up from other clubs?
Now, if we list all the players, right, we will have 14 players from Pegasus, 2 players from R&F, which are Leung Nok Hang and Lo Kwan Yee. We have 2 players from Salvon, which would be Shea Spitz and Wellington D'Souza. Although I heard that Shea Spitz might actually be injured, so he has to drop out of his squad. We have 2 players from Liman. We have 3 players from Kitchy, which should be Fernando, Jordi and Lucas Silva. Now, I have my doubts that they actually will play a lot, or that they may even play in the second game anymore, because they have a very tough schedule ahead and they will need to be match fit for what we have discussed, the ACL qualifiers. So yeah, I have my doubts that you will see a lot of them in the games. Other than this, we still have like 2 players from Yunlong and 1 player from Dream. So it is basically flying horsemen and some temporary horses from from other clubs, but it's mainly Pegasus Plus. Yeah.
Okay. And when did you say it started? 1908?
Supposedly that was the first time that it was held in Hong Kong. Yes.
So almost as old as Festus Bays.
Oh, that was mean. That was mean.
But so it is, if we're being serious, it is almost as old as the Senior Shield. It's a very traditional thing. And what I've noticed is that it's a little bit like the Christmas Day Senior Shield semi-finals. There's a slightly different feel to these games, and it's a bit more family, like a bit more traditional. People kind of come because it's the Lunar New Year Cup, and they kind of know that it's this traditional thing that has happened in Hong Kong for so long, even if they're not people who are interested in the Hong Kong Premier League per se. And so if you do fancy it, it's a really nice day out. You get 2 games for the price of 1. The weather has been as cold as it normally is this time of year. So, you know, you can't even complain about that. Yeah, get down there. Have a great Lunar New Year football celebration.
Yes, how to better start a new year than watching football?
On that note, I think we can end. I think that is everything for this edition of the Hong Kong Football Podcast. Have a great time at the football. Hope your team wins. Have a very happy Lunar New Year holiday. We wish you a prosperous and successful Year of the Pig. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.